मायया या सृजत्यतः तस्यावतार एवायम् अद्वैताचार्य ईश्वरः। लॉर्ड अद्वैता आचार्य इज द इनकार्नेशन ऑफ महाविष्णु whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Advaitam Haryanai Haranadvaitad Acharyam Bhakti Samsanat Bhaktavataram Isham Tam Advaitacharyam Ashraye. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his features. As a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotion and devotional energy. Jagat Mangalam Advaita Mangala Gunadham Mangala Charita Sada Mangala Yanranam. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the whole world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Advaita Prabhu is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an Acharya or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness of the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditional life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruit of activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. According to some, as the usual, as the causal incarnation of Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion. He is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities, free one from all kinds of misfortune, one should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the form of Vishnu. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoi Sri Guruve Namaha. By the infinite oceanic mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we have the very good fortune to be here today to celebrate one of the most important festivals of our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how Sri Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is all auspicious. And by hearing about him, speaking about him, glorifying him, we become both auspicious and glorified ourselves. Om apavitra apavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmarai pundarikaksham sabayabhyantarasuchi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all pure. One who remembers that Lord who has beautiful lotus eyes, in any situation, at any time, that person becomes purified both within and without. These sacred days of the appearance of the great acharyas and the Lord and his incarnations are very important for us. Just as the Lord is none different from his form in the holy name, in the form of the deity, and bestows his blessings upon us, similarly, the Lord appears in these sacred days, in his particular form that is worshipped, to bestow unlimited blessings upon us. I was not supposed to give class today, but my dear senior godbrother, Jananivas Prabhu, ordered me to give class today. That was sometime quite late last night. So I was resisting. But he, although he's the gentlest, humblest, mildest devotee, when he wants to be like a thunderbolt, he's like a thunderbolt. But the amazing thing is his thunderbolts are very soothing and pleasing to the heart. That is his mystic power. Srila Prabhupada taught us that we get the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas by serving them. So today, I'm only sitting here for one purpose, to treasure that priceless fortune of Jananivas Prabhu's lotus dust of his feet upon my head. Thank you, Jananivas Prabhu, for accepting me as your servant. He told me to speak about Advaitacharya. We have read Advaita means he is called Advaita because he is non-different than Lord Hari. And he is called Acharya because he is the preceptor of pure unalloyed devotional service by his words and by his example in life. Various of our authorized Vaishnav scriptures describe the tattva of Sri Advaita. Here we find Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explaining how he is none different than Mahavishnu. Lord Mahavishnu is the Karunodakshayi Vishnu. He is the original of the Purusha avatars. When it is time for the creation of the cosmic manifestation, in his state of yoga nidra, unlimited universes come out of his pores when he exhales. And then he glances upon material nature, the mahatattva, and through that glance he impregnates all the living entities who are karmically meant to be within material creation to enter. In this way, he is Aham Bija Pratapita. He is the seed-giving father for every living being by his glance at one time. Sometimes people are celebrated because they have twins or they have triplets or they have quadruplets, very powerful semen. He doesn't need semen. By his glance, he puts unlimited, countless living entities at one time in the womb of material nature. That's what kind of father Mahavishnu is. And then, also by his glance, he activates the three gunas, which he has created with time, and thus the whole cycle of material creation begins. He expands himself as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu in each of those universes, from whose navel Atmabhu Brahma is born. And then that Lord, Vishnu, instructs Brahma in the Vedic knowledge, the purpose of life, and also the process of creation. And then that Mahavishnu, as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, expands himself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is sleeping in a Vaikuntha planet in the ocean of milk in Svetadvip. And he expands himself as the Paramatma, the super soul within the heart of every living entity, all pervading, all knowing. It is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur that Advaitacharya is simultaneously Sadashiva, the original Lord Shiva in the Vaikuntha planets, in the spiritual world, the origin of all Shivas, the origin of all auspiciousness. In the Gaurganodashtipika by Kavi Karnapur, the son of Shivananda Sen, he describes in Brajbhumi, Lord Shiva takes the form of a cowherd boy, a gopa, and plays with Krishna in the sweetest, loving ways. Sometimes they embrace together, sometimes they dance together. He's also Lord Shiva in Brajbhumi. And we know at Kamyavan, Brishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Mataji, They used to worship Kameshwar Mahadev to have a daughter. And they have accepted it. It was by his blessings that Srimati Radharani became daughter. So Lord Shiva's cowherd boy. He's also the form of Shiva, worshipped by the Brijabasis. And he also becomes Gopeshwar Mahadev. He becomes Gopi. When he wanted to enter the Ras Lila, Lalita Sakhi said, no male bodies are allowed in this Ras Lila. So she told him, if you go to Mansrovar, across Jamuna, and you pray for the service, to be the servant of the servants of Sri Radharani, then your desire will be fulfilled. So he bathed in the Mansrovar and he came out in the form of a gopi and came to the Ras Mandala and was welcomed by Sri Radharani, Lord Krishna, and all the Braj gopis. And they gave him a special service to be the guardian of the Ras Lila. Only by his blessings can anyone come and enter. Only those persons who are purest in heart in the Ras of Madhurya. So even to this day, one of the most important of all temples in Sri Vrindavan is Gopeshwar Mahadev. And if you go in the evening, in the morning, he's just Shivalingam Swarup. And people are offering milk upon him and those bay leaves. But in the evening, they dress him as Gopeshwar. They put sari and nose ring and nice necklaces. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. There is no greater Vaishnava than Lord Shiva. We can understand. In this world, he accepts his expansion, Rudra. He accepts a position as Gunavatar. Just by his dance, he devastates the universe. Hare Krishna. Wouldn't you love to see that dance? If you don't become very serious, you will. Indirectly. So that same Sadashiva, mixing along with Sri Mahavishnu, has appeared as a Advaitacharya. He took birth in 1434 AD in the holy village of Navagram. On the seventh day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh. He was born by a very, very celebrated, pure-hearted Virendra Brahman of the name Kuvera Pandit. And his mother's name was Naba Devi. Kuvera Pandit was a very old man. Throughout his life, he worshipped Lord Narasingha Dev with his life and soul. He was the very embodiment of pure devotion. Not for a single moment, day or night, did he ever forget Krishna. Thus the Lord selected this very, very great devotee, who was an incarnation of Kuvera, one of the best of all friends of Lord Shiva in Kailash, the treasure of the gods. It was he and Naba Devi who gave birth to Sri Advaita. He gave birth in his old age. When the child was born, he was so beautiful. He had the loveliest lotus eyes. So the first name they gave him was Kamalaksha, one with lotus eyes. And they also named him Mangala, because from his very birth, everything became all auspicious. in his childhood in Navagram, he was very, very much loved by all. He was the heart, the life and soul of all the people there. Such perfect mannerisms, always compassionate, always gentle, very learned in the scriptures, always praising the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his words, in his thoughts, in his deeds. When he was still young, his mother and father disappeared from this world. He went to Gaya, according to the tradition, to perform the ceremony of Shraddha for his beloved mother and father. After that, he had no family, and he was young. So he went on a pilgrimage to all the holy places throughout India. And in the very end, he came to the holiest of all holy places, Sri Vrindavan Dham. Living in Vrindavan, he was constantly immersed in the ecstatic rasas of love of Krishna. This is so wonderful. You know the story, how Mahavishnu, he stole those Brahmins' baby children, and it appeared that they died. And ultimately, Krishna had to take Arjuna all the way to the causal ocean to meet Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu told him that I did this pastime just because I wanted to have your darshan, Sri Krishna. So although Krishna and his incarnations are non-different, still for the sake of pastime, the incarnations all worship Krishna because he is the supreme fountainhead, the source of everything. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So Sri Advaitacharya lived at a place called Advaitavat. Even today there is a banyan tree where he was constantly immersed in loudly chanting the holy names. There he discovered the ancient deity, personally installed by Vajranab, the great grandson of Krishna. The Sambandha Murti of our Sampradaya, Madan Gopal. At Advaitavat, Sri Advaita Prabhu worshipped with such love and devotion Sri Madan Gopal. Then in his meditation, he was enlightened with the realization of his mission to bring the Supreme Lord Krishna to this earth. So he returned to Shantipur, which was a place that he went to reside just after his parents left this world because he wanted to live on the bank of the Ganges. There in Shantipur, actually one very historical event took place on his way to Shantipur. He went to Mithila, and there he met the great Vaishnav poet Vidyapati, and they became intimate associates, sharing their love and devotion to the Lord. While in Shantipur, his heart overflowed with compassion. Seeing the conditions of the people of this age of Kali. So he began to every day give lectures on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing only one subject, pure unalloyed devotional service to Lord Hari. At that time, Madhavendra Puri came to Shantipur. We know the story from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhavendra Puri had installed the deity of Gopal on Govardhan Hill. And Gopal appeared to him in a dream and said, I was living in the bushes for so long. I am still very hot. Please go to the Malayan hills and bring me sandalwood and camphor. So Madhavendra Puri took that order of his life and soul, and all alone he entrusted the deity worship to his disciples, and he left. En route to Jagannath Puri, he heard about the glories of Sri Advaita Prabhu's devotion. So he went to Shantipur. Madhavendra Puri stayed at the house of Advaitacharya. When Sri Advaita Prabhu saw the ecstatic love of Madhavendra Puri, he fell at his feet and begged him for initiation. And it was there in the holy land of Shantipur that Advaitacharya accepted Diksha formally from Sri Madhavendra Puri and accepted his lotus feet as the very treasure of his life. Lord Chaitanya is the tree of devotional service. Madhavendra Puri was the seed of that tree. Srila Ishwara Puri nourished that seed. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became the tree and divided into two trunks. One is Lord Nityananda Prabhu and one is Sri Advaita Prabhu. While living in Shantipur, Srila Haridas Thakur, he came to meet Sri Advaita Prabhu. Actually, Haridas Thakur was living in Benapul and other jungles in the eastern part of Bengal. But due to various reasons, he left those places. And he came to a place called Chandpur in Adi Shaptigram. There he stayed at the house of Balaramacharya and Yadunandanacharya. And they arranged for Haridas Thakur to speak on the glories of the holy name. Now Balaramacharya was the priest for Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar. And Yadunandanacharya was their guru. So naturally they came to hear Haridas Thakur's lectures. And they brought their little tiny son, whose name was Raghunath. Upon seeing Haridas Thakur's renunciation, his total attachment to chanting 300,000 names of Krishna every day, upon seeing his ecstatic symptoms of love of God, Raghunath Das's heart melted in ecstasy. And he committed his life at that very time to one of total renunciation and devotion. After leaving Chandpur, Haridas came to Shantipur. When Sri Advaitacharya met with him, in tears of ecstasy in his eyes, they were embracing together, they were dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy names. Sri Advaitacharya, understanding Haridas's spirit of renunciation, personally arranged to find a nice cave for him to live in. And Haridas Thakur would do his bhajan, but every day he would come and speak Harikatha with Advaitacharya and sing and dance together. Advaitacharya was the foremost leader of all the Vaishnavas, and he was also the foremost leader of all Brahmins. Every year, he would perform Shraddha, in which, in order to deliver ancestors, you offer bhoga to Lord Vishnu, then you offer it to the Vaishnavas. So, the most exalted of all Vaishnavas, is given the honor of accepting the first remnants of Vishnu. Advaitacharya gave that honor to Srila Haridas Thakur. Even though the most exalted, highly placed Brahmins were present, people were astounded. They were shocked. This was really making a statement that just, it was like an earthquake in the hearts of people who did not understand what is Vaishnav Siddhanta. Can you imagine? Haridas Thakur was known to be an untouchable Malecha and Yavana by birth. And he's given precedence over the greatest born Brahmins by Advaitacharya's own hands. Haridas Thakur was ashamed. He was embarrassed. He said, I'm a Malecha, I'm a Yavana. There's so many more qualified people than me. Why are you giving me this honor? It's meant for a Brahmin. Advaitacharya, with tears of ecstatic love in his eyes, he said, by feeding you, I am feeding 10 million Brahmins. Because you have complete attraction to the chanting of the holy names. Aho bata swapacho togariyam yam jivakri vartate nama tubhyam. Bhagavad says, even if one is born in family of Chandala, dog eater, if he is tasting the nectar of the holy name, it is to be considered that he has gone to all holy places of pilgrimage, he has read all the scriptures, he has bathed in all the rivers, he's performed all types of pious activities, he's done every type of austerity. He's the greatest of Brahmins. In fact, that person is fit to be guru for the world. But a Brahmin, even if he has all the 25 qualifications of a Brahmin from a high family, if he's not a devotee attached to the holy name, he cannot even deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. Sri Advaitacharya also had a house in Navadvip. Sometimes he would be in Navadvip, sometimes he would be in Shantipur. He was seeing the condition of human society. How Kali Yuga has progressed to such a limit, he was thinking. Even the scholars and the pundits and the teachers, they're so arrogant, so puffed up with pride at their great learning, but they never speak anything about Krishna, never talk anything about bhakti. They're worshipping Manasa Devi, the snake goddess, for materialistic benefits. They're worshipping various demigods, Kamais Tais Tar Hritikyana Prapadyantyanya Nevata, Tam Tam Niyamanamachtaya Praktikyanyata Ashwaya, simply with material motives in their hearts. And anyone who's a devotee, anyone who's practicing the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan, they condemn, they criticize as being sentimental fools. Such abominable condition. Advaitacharya was preaching with his heart and soul, but he began to ponder within his heart. That in this age of Kali, unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appears, there will be no salvation to the world. The Yuga Dharma is Nam Sankirtan. Unless the Lord of Goloka Vrindavan personally descends to chant and dance and teach this process, the world will not understand. He read in a scripture how the Lord will always satisfy his devotee's desire if he was worshipped with sincere love by the offering of Tulsi Manjaris and Ganja water. Advaitacharya made a vow. He would fast. And throughout the day and night, on the banks of River Ganga, he would worship his Shalagram Shila Vishnu with Tulsi leaves and Tulsi Manjaris, with the sacred water of Ganga. And he would loudly pray for the Lord to appear. What a beautiful sight this was. Effulgent as millions of suns, sitting on the bank of the Ganga was Sri Advaitacharya. His heart, like an ocean of unlimited compassion to the fallen souls rotting in this material world. People trying to find happiness through material sense pleasures and rejecting the great treasure of prema bhakti that's within their own hearts, living and dying like animals in this age of Kali with no taste for the holy name. Out of his love and his mercy to you and me, he offered the water of the Ganga and those Tulsi Manjaris. And he was roaring with a thunderous voice that could be heard everywhere for the Lord to appear. As he was screaming out his prayers with the holy names of Krishna, tears were flowing like rivers from his eyes. He was thinking in his heart that the Lord will appear. And when the Lord appears to deliver the fools and rascals in the age of Kali, then I will live up to my name, Advaita. He roared like a lion day and night. The Lord heard his prayers. And actually, according to all of our great Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, we worship Sri Advaita Prabhu, because it is by his mercy to us that the most merciful, munificent of all incarnations, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, agreed to come to this world. On the full moon night of the month of Phalgun, during a lunar eclipse, everyone was in the Ganga chanting the names of Lord Hari, because the lunar eclipse is considered inauspicious. So to counteract the inauspicious effects of the eclipse, people would all go and chant the holy names. And because all the Hindus were just chanting, even the atheists were chanting, even the Muslims were chanting, because they were just caught up by the fever. When Haridas Thakur and Advaita, who were in Shantipur at the time, were seeing everyone chanting, they were praying, "Let this eclipse last forever." It was at that moment that Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, like a golden moon, rose from the ocean of Sachi Mata's womb. In Shantipur, Sri Advaita Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they could feel such ecstasy in their hearts at that moment that the sattvika bhava, the ecstatic symptoms were just decorating their bodies. They were dancing. They were screaming out the holy names. People could not understand why the Lord had appeared. Sri Advaitacharya sent his beloved wife, Sita Thakurani, to bring offerings of gifts to Sri Sachinandan, the son of Sachi Devi. In Shantipur, Sri Advaitacharya had two wives. One is Sita Thakurani, who is the incarnation of Yogamaya potency of the Lord. Yogamaya potency is she who makes all arrangements for the divine loving affairs of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. The spiritual energy of the Lord. And Sridevi, her co-wife, was the Prakash expansion of the Yogamaya potency. Sita Thakurani was carried by palanquin. Srila Prabhupada says that in those days, respectable women, they would not even be seen by the ordinary people. They would travel on palanquins with closed drapes around them. And there she brought nice gifts, very auspicious gifts. When she saw the newborn infant, she fell in love with him. She understood within the core of her heart that the beautiful form of Krishna, who is dark like the tamal tree, has now appeared in this beautiful golden form, Gaurhari. She worshipped him. As little Nimai grew older, his elder brother, Vishwarup, he was very much attached to Sri Advaitacharya's association. In fact, every day he would get up in the morning, early morning, he would take his bath in the Ganga, then he would go to Advaita Prabhu's house. And all day long he only had one interest in life: hearing the glories of the Lord from Advaita Prabhu's divine lips, and dancing and singing in kirtan with the Vaishnavas. And every day, Sachi Mata would have little Nimai go to either bring some prasad that she cooked to Vishwarup, or call him home to take prasad. It is explained, one day they were all having Harikatha, and little Nimai came and pulled Vishwarup by dhoti. Mata is calling. It is time for prasad. The devotees, led by Advaita Acharya himself, they were just looking at this little playful form of Nimai. And somehow or other, they were practically paralyzed. They couldn't move. They couldn't even speak Harikatha anymore. All they could do was look at him with unblinking eyes, tears flowing, hair standing on end. It's just silence, looking at this little child. And Nimai says, "Come, mother is calling, mother is calling." And he pulled Vishwarup by the hand, and went running home. And the devotees all looked at Advaitacharya Prabhu and said, "What happened?" He said, "That is not an ordinary boy. I don't understand. The same love I feel when I chant the names of Krishna, I feel when I see him. But by the Yogamaya potency, Advaita Prabhu, by his own sweet will, he actually was not conscious that Nimai was his worshipable Lord Krishna at that time." Some years later, Shripad Ishwarapuri, foremost disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, he came to Navadvip. But he was so humble. He wasn't that kind of acharya that all of his disciples came before and passed out literatures and invitations. He just came alone. Not that one is bad and one is good, but this was his mood. He just came alone. And he was wearing such simple dress that people actually thought he was a Mayavadi sannyasi. He went to Sri Advaitacharya's house in Napadweep. There Sri Advaitacharya was worshipping his deity and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And he just sat on the dirt in the ground, Srila Ishvara Puri, and just silently watched the puja of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Prabhu, he was by this time old man also. He looked over and saw this person and was thinking, is he a Mayavadi sannyasi? Who is this person? Somehow he looks very effulgent. So he turned to Mukunda. And Mukunda began to sing a beautiful prayer about Krishna. And Ishvara Puri just could not contain himself. He just started rolling in the ground in ecstasy of love, loudly chanting the holy names. By seeing this, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu could understand that this was his own beloved god brother, foremost of Vaishnavas, Srila Ishvara Puri, and how Sri Advaita Prabhu welcomed him, crest jewel of sannyasis. After meeting Ishvara Puri on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu decided in his heart that this is my guru. I will take initiation. On the pretext of offering Shraddha to his departed father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, he went to Gaya. And there he met Sri Ishvara Puri and received Harinam initiation. He served Ishvara Puri with such menial and humble devotion. And Ishvara Puri ordered Lord Chaitanya that you should spread the Sankirtan of the holy names throughout the world. Upon receiving the mercy of his beloved Guru Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his Mahabhav, his ecstatic love and separation. It was at this time that the purpose of his incarnation, Krishna wanting to taste the sweetness of Sri Radhika's love, began to manifest within his heart and to the world. When he returned to Gaya, so many people came to meet him. And when he saw the devotees, he took them in a private room and said, he started crying. He said, where is Krishna? Where is my beloved Kanai Krishna? I wasted my entire life. And then I saw Krishna. But then he disappeared. Then he fell to the ground. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Sriman Pandit happened to be there. The next day, early in the morning, the devotees would go to Srivas Angam, and there was a vine of flowers that gave unending flowers to the devotees. It was atop a couple briksha creeper. So they would all pick flowers for their puja together and sing and discuss Harikatha. But on that day, Sriman Pandit said, you should see what I saw. They said, what did you see? What did you see? Nimai has become a Vaishnava. For so many years, we were all praying for Nimai to become a Vaishnava. Now he only talks about Krishna. He was weeping and crying in ecstatic love. I have never seen such ecstatic love. There were rivers of tears flowing from his eyes.
He has told me the message that we should all meet him at the house of Suklambar Brahmachari on the bank of Ganga. So they went. And there, Lord Gaurasundar was revealing the sorrows of his heart. Gadadhar Pandit happened to be hiding. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, crying out, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" He fell against a pillar and slipped down to the ground, just weeping. Tears, love, hair standing on end. Fell unconscious. Then he came to consciousness and asked Suklambar Brahmachari, "Is anyone here?" He said, your devotee. He said, "Your Gadadhar is here." So the Lord approached Gadadhar and said, "You are so fortunate. For your entire life, you have been engaged in devotional service to Lord Krishna. You have renounced all material conceptions. But I am so unfortunate. I wasted my entire life in the vain pursuit of mundane studies. But by the causeless, infinite mercy of Lord Krishna, he revealed himself to me. But due to my past impious deeds, he disappeared." Then he started wailing, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Gadadhar, the devotees, informed Sri Advaita Prabhu of the state of Lord Chaitanya's consciousness. One day, Gadadhar Pandit, who was an equal with Lord Chaitanya in age, they went together to Sri Advaita Prabhu's house. Sri Advaita Prabhu was performing the aarti to the deities when they came. And Lord Chaitanya, seeing the devotion of Sri Advaita for Thakurji Sri Krishna, he fell unconscious. Advaita turned around with all the paraphernalia for the deities and started worshipping Lord Chaitanya, who was laying unconscious on the ground. This was his chance. And he was offering the prayer, "Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha." And Gadadhar Pandit was really bewildered. He said to Advaita Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu was the age of Lord Chaitanya's grandfather. He said, "Why are you offering Krishna's puja paraphernalia to this young boy?" And Advaita Prabhu, he smiled at Gadadhar and very gravely said, "How long will you think that he is just a young boy? Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo." It was at that moment that Sri Gadadhar Pandit understood that his dear intimate friend, Nimai, was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, worshipable by all. Nimai got up and he worshipped Advaita, and Advaita worshipped Nimai. Then Advaita decided, "I am going to test him to make sure he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Of course he knew, but to show the world and also to increase his loving pastimes with the Lord, he decided to test him. He left Navadvip and went to Antakshantipur. Soon after that, Nityananda Prabhu, who was living at the Shringar Bhat in Vrindavan near Jamuna, he realized the Lord, Sri Chaitanya, he has begun his Sankirtan movement, my brother. So he immediately went to Navadvip. And there was the grand reunion of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda at the house of Sri Nandanacharya. The next day, Lord Chaitanya decided to have the Vyas Puja for Nityananda Prabhu. So as that was being celebrated, Srivas, he said to Nityananda Prabhu, according to the procedures, it is now time for you to offer this garland to Vyasadeva. And he gave the garland to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu just stood there, looking at Lord Chaitanya. Shiva said, the time is auspicious to put the garland as an offering to Vyasadeva. And he stood there, looking at Lord Chaitanya. So Shiva said to Lord Chaitanya, you are Nitai. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to offer the garland to Vyasadeva. So Lord Chaitanya said, Nitai, offer the garland to Vyasadeva. So immediately he put the garland on Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy, he manifested his six-arm form of Sadbuja for the pleasure of Nityananda Prabhu, who fell unconscious in ecstasy. Then Lord Chaitanya began to cry out, Nara, Nara, where are you? I have come for you. Nara is another name of Sri Advaitacharya. He was calling for him. Just after this, Lord Chaitanya called Sri Ramai Pandit, younger brother of Srivas Thakur, and said, go to Shantipur and give this message to Sri Advaita Prabhu. He said, tell him that the Lord has come, that his prayers have been fulfilled. Tell him that person who he prayed for, who he fasted for, who he called, roared in prayers loudly for. Tell him that that Lord has come and that he should come here and worship him. And also tell him that Nityananda Prabhu has come as well. So Ramai Pandit walked by foot all the way to Shantipur. There he met with Advaita Prabhu, who was still in his mood of testing Lord Chaitanya. And he said that I have a message for you. He said, Vishwambar Nimai has given me this message for you. The person you wept for, the person you fasted for, the person who you prayed for has come. He wants you to come immediately to worship him. Advaitacharya, he laughed in ecstasy. Then he said, where in the scriptures does it say that the Lord will come in the form of a human being in this age of Kali? I don't see it in any scriptures. Why are you telling me like this? Sri Ram Pandit simply laughed and said, Sri Advaita Prabhu, you already know everything. So Advaita Prabhu, he was very, very ecstatic. And he began to dance in ecstasy. And he brought his son Achyutananda and Sita Thakurani. They gathered all auspicious ingredients and traveled to Sri Navadvip. Then he told Sri Ram Pandit. He said, I'm going to hide. Don't tell anyone where I am. I want to test to see if the Lord really is thinking about me. So he went to Nandanacharya's house. That was the hiding place of everyone. It's amazing how everyone hid there, so what kind of hiding place? But still, it was the hiding place. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the house of Srivas. On that day, he was sitting on the throne of Lord Vishnu with Shalagram Shilas on his lap. And he told Ramai Pandit, he said, go to Nandanacharya's house and tell him I'm thinking of him. He should come now and worship me. When Advaita heard that news, he came running to that place and offered his prostrated obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and washed his feet and decorated him with chandan and so many garlands and flowers and offered him bhoga and offered him arti. He worshipped him just like a deity. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted his love. During the Sat Praharya Lila, or Mahaprakash, when for 21 hours in Srivas Thakur's house, the Lord fulfilled all of his devotees' desires, he called Sri Advaita Prabhu. He kept asking Advaita Prabhu. Throughout Mahaprakash, he said, ask for a boon. And Sri Advaita Prabhu would just say, I see you. I don't deserve to see you. I am the most fallen. I am the most sinful. Thank you. He would never ask for anything. And while sitting on the throne of Lord Vishnu, at one moment, Lord Chaitanya cast his glance upon Sri Advaita Prabhu. And he said, do you remember? I made you eat. This is very esoteric. And everyone was looking around. What is this, I made you eat? He said, do you not remember? You were studying Bhagavad Gita. And I revealed to you how every single word of every single sloka of Bhagavad Gita simply means devotional service. And that's the way you preached. But you came upon one sloka of the Gita where you just couldn't understand how this relates to pure devotional service. So you studied this verse so deeply and you prayed to understand, but you just couldn't understand how it means devotional service. So you decided to fast until you understood properly. That night you went to sleep and I spoke to you in a dream. I told you, Advaita Prabhu, do not fast, eat. I will reveal to you in due course of time what is the meaning of this sloka. So immediately you got up, you bowed down, and you took prasad. I saved your life. And now I will tell you on this very day what is the meaning of that verse. Everywhere are my eyes and faces. Everywhere are my hands and legs. In this way, the Paramatma Supersoul exists. The Mayavadis love to use this verse. Everywhere are my eyes and faces. Everywhere are my hands and legs. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained what this means is the super soul. He is all pervading to accept the offerings of love of his devotees. Advaita Acharya was in bliss. He began to dance in ecstasy. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, please ask for a boon. He said, my Lord, the only boon I ask for is give pure love of Krishna to everyone and anyone without discrimination through the Nam Sankirtan movement. Only those puffed up scholars who are rascals, who blaspheme your devotees, don't give it to them. Hare Krishna, that was his boon. Now, this is a rare occasion during Mahaprakash.
that Lord Chaitanya actually revealed his divine opulences as the Supreme Lord. The rest of the time, he was always in the spirit of his own devotee, practicing the sacred principle of Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. He would wash the clothes of his devotees. He would carry loads on his shoulder to help the devotees. He was a menial servant of the Vaishnavas. And if anyone ever called him Vishnu, he would hold his ears and go, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Never call a living entity God. We are all eternally his servants. This is the sweetness of his mood. Yesterday, Tejas Prabhu was telling me a wonderful story that he personally heard Srila Prabhupada tell. How Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing clothes of his devotees. Even washing clothes of the Brahmins. Yes? So one Brahmin was so pleased to see his humble behavior. He gave him a benediction. He said, I bestow upon you the benediction that you will be wealthy, you will live long life, you will have good health, you will have a nice wife, beautiful. Lord Chaitanya said, that's a horrible benediction. Why are you giving me like that? Huh? The Brahmin was so offended. He said, you don't like my benediction? That's the best benediction in the world. I've offered you a happy, opulent life in this world. He was so insulted that he cursed Lord Chaitanya that you will lose your whole family life and all your opulences. Lord Chaitanya was very happy then. He said, thank you very much. Yes, Tejas Prabhu? Something like that. Thank you. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of a devotee. And he very meticulously followed the principles of Vaishnava etiquette. Part of the etiquette of a Vaishnava is to treat the god brothers of Guru as your own Guru. So Advaitacharya was the god brother of his Guru. So he was always offering us respect and honor to Sri Advaita Prabhu. And Advaita Prabhu couldn't tolerate this. He wanted to be accepted as a servant. So one time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was walking along the Ganga. And he happened to meet some materialistic people. And the materialistic people wanted to harass Lord Chaitanya. They said, Nimai, do you know that the king is calling to meet you? Because you're doing all these secret Nam Sankirtans behind closed doors, not allowing anybody in, loudly screaming. The king wants to meet you. Not only that, Nimai, the people of Navadvip, they are so much disgusted with what you do. All the screaming. Day and night, they are cursing you. Lord Chaitanya smiled at them and said, oh, king wants to see me? Very good. I would like to debate with him. He has questions for me? Because I'm a small child, hardly anybody wants to talk and ask questions to me. I'm always eager to answer questions. Where is the king? He said, no, the king doesn't want to ask you those kind of questions. He's angry because of your Nam Sankirtan. So the Lord just walked away. And he entered to the arena where the devotees were staying. And he said, I have just met materialistic people. I feel my heart contaminated by hearing their words. Please purify my life by having Nam Sankirtan.
So all the devotees began chanting and dancing. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing. And then he stopped the kirtan. He said, because of my association with material people, I feel no love of God in my heart. I feel no ecstasy while chanting the holy names. Why is this? And Sri Advaita Prabhu became very, very excited. He said, you are not feeling love of God in your heart because I have dried it all up. Huh? He said, you have accepted all these betel nut sellers and banana leaf salesmen. You've accepted all of them as your servants. Even this wild, casteless avaduta, Nityananda, you've accepted him as your servant. You've accepted the whole universe as your servants, except for me and Srivas. You give us affection and honor. You are cheating us. Therefore, I have cheated you today by stealing your love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling he had no love of Krishna. He did not say a word to Sri Advaita Prabhu. He just ran for the door, broke down the door, ran to the Ganges, jumped in underwater to drown himself. Nityananda and Haridas were running after him. They understood the Lord is in a very mysterious mood. When they saw him dive in the Ganges, fall unconscious and just go deeper and deeper and deeper, they dove in the Ganges looking all over for him somehow or other. One of them grabbed his hair, one of them grabbed his feet and brought him back up to the bank of the Ganga. The devotees were weeping. Nityananda Prabhu asked, why did you do this, my Lord? And Lord Chaitanya replied, incessant tears flowing from his eyes. He said, why did you save my life? Why? I have no love for Krishna in my heart. Therefore, what is the use of me living? If I had even one drop of love of Krishna in my heart, I would have died in separation from him. But the fact that I'm still breathing means I have no love. What is the use of my life with no love? Why did you take me out of the Ganges? Haridas and Nityananda Prabhu, hearing the Lord's pathetic, pathetic words, they were weeping, they were crying. They said, my Lord, Sri Advaita Prabhu, he may have acted arrogant, but he's your devotee. He's given his life and soul to you. It's no reason for you to leave us all. We can't live without you. Lord Chaitanya responded, I am going into hiding. If you tell anyone that you have seen me, then you will see what I will do then. Hare Krishna. He went to the house of Nandanacharya. He was soaking wet. Nandanacharya was so happy, this unexpected visit of his worshipable Lord. He gave him nice dry clothes, and he offered him garlands, and he offered him obeisances and prayers. And then he sat down with Nandanacharya after taking some prasad, and all night they discussed topics of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told Nandanacharya, I'm going to hide in your house. Don't tell anyone I am here. Sri Nandanacharya replied, my Lord, how can you hide in my house? You couldn't even hide in the ocean of milk. We found you and brought you here. You're situated in everyone's heart and still your devotees find you. But anyways, let us have Harikatha. So they had Harikatha all night. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya told Nandanacharya, go bring Srivas here. He went to Srivasangam and brought back Srivas. Srivas offered his obeisances. The Lord picked him up and embraced him. The Lord said, please tell me, what is the condition of Sri Advaita Prabhu? Srivas Prabhu, he said, you know, why even ask? What is his condition? What is all of our condition? You left us. You disappeared. There was no word of where you went. We didn't know whether you were living or not. He said, all the devotees have simply been drowning in an ocean of gloom since you left in that spirit yesterday. And as far as Advaita Prabhu, he's fasting till death because he considers that he has committed an offense to you. He's simply crying. There's a cloud of darkness all around his face. He's your servant. You are his life and soul. Please save him. At that moment, Lord Chaitanya immediately went directly to Sri Advaita's house. Sri Advaita Prabhu was unconscious. The Lord called his name and he looked up and he looked at Lord Chaitanya. He was so ashamed, so embarrassed. He just had a pathetic expression upon him. And then the Lord spoke. He said, you should know that the punishment of the Lord is his mercy. He gave an example. He said, a king has a very intimate servant. That servant is in charge of collecting the taxes of the citizens and then giving the taxes to the king. He has such authority. He is the power of the king. But as well as giving the authority to that person, if that person misbehaves, the king will punish him out of love. When the servant misbehaves, it is the love of the master to punish him. Sri Advaita Prabhu became ecstatic. He said, that means you have accepted me as your servant because you have punished me. And then he began dancing in ecstasy, fell at the feet of the Lord in great, great happiness. He prayed to the Lord that to the rest of the world you are giving the opportunity to serve. But you never let me serve you. Rather, you're always giving affection and honor to me. In fact, you're always trying to serve me. This is intolerable. Please bestow upon me the fulfillment of one prayer. Accept me just like the son of a maidservant. How glorious. Mahavishnu. He wants to give up that position to have the role of the son of a maidservant, of the servants of the Lord. Vrindavan Das Thakur illuminates this principle. This is the ultimate aspiration in life. To be the menial servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan Das Thakur illuminates this principle. This is the ultimate aspiration in life. To be the menial servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised Advaita Prabhu. That anyone who is my devotee, I will always protect. That person is more dear to me than my very life. In this instance, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives us a very, very essential lesson. He says that one who understands how dear a devotee is to the Lord respects and honors Vaishnavas. He said, beginning devotees, neophyte devotees, they quarrel amongst each other. But people who actually understand Krishna and Vaishnavism, they do not quarrel. They give all respect and honor to the Vaishnavas. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even after this incident, he still observed the etiquette of honoring and worshipping Advaita Prabhu, which was so painful to him. Amanina manadena. That is a Vaishnava. Now, for most of us, we're very happy when someone honors us. It tastes like nectar. But to Advaita Prabhu, it tasted like poison. And every day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to take the dust from Sri Advaita Prabhu's lotus feet. And Advaita Prabhu would try to resist. But Lord Chaitanya was so powerful. He would always fail. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell unconscious. And Sri Advaita Prabhu just ran up to him and took the dust from his lotus feet and smeared it on every limb of his body. He was weeping and crying and dancing in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya got up from his ecstatic symptom and said, start the kirtan. And they started kirtan. Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. He said, why am I not feeling ecstatic love? Did someone take dust from my feet? And very difficult situation. Because Advaitacharya was the leader amongst all the Vaishnavas. So who is going to tell on him? So simultaneously, they couldn't lie to Lord Chaitanya, and they couldn't betray Advaita Prabhu. So they were really in a situation. Sometimes Krishna puts devotees in situations like this. Whatever you do, you make an offense. Yes? Have anyone ever been in a situation? Any choice you make, you have to make an offense. So they were really in anxiety. And Advaita Prabhu, he was compassionate. He wanted to protect the devotees. So Advaita Prabhu said, I took the dust of your lotus feet. He said, I have stolen from the thief. You are always stealing from me, and today I have conquered the thief, and I have cheated you, and I have taken the dust from your lotus feet. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to take dust from Advaita Prabhu's lotus feet. And they started fighting. But he won. And every day he would do this. And Advaita Prabhu was really, really in anxiety. He was thinking within his heart, every day he takes dust from my feet. Every day he honors me and he worships me. I cannot tolerate it. I want to be his servant. Somehow or other, I have to figure out by some means that he will accept me as his servant. He had a very amazing idea. He was thinking in his heart that Lord Gauranga is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is my worshipable master. He has descended into this world for one exclusive purpose, and that is to spread the glories of pure, unalloyed devotional service. And the greatest impediment to devotional service is impersonalism. Because if a devotee does not understand the Lord's eternal form, his eternal pastimes, his eternal glories in the spiritual world, then how can he actually serve the Lord with love? Impersonalists will serve, but their ambition ultimately is to become God. Because the God's form is Maya. It is an illusion. It's temporary. Beyond the modes of material nature is simply Brahman. The undifferentiated, impersonal, all-pervading existence in which we all homogeneously exist as one. So Advaita Prabhu was thinking, I will preach the glories of impersonal. I will give no importance to bhakti. Then the Lord will have to punish me. Ah, he started laughing. And he took Haridas Thakur back to Shantipur. And there he began a lecture series from the Yoga Vashishta, according to the teachings of Sripad Shankaracharya. He was preaching that impersonalism is all important. Impersonalism is all powerful. Impersonalism is the essence and the conclusion of all knowledge. It is the culmination of all religious practices. Devotion, impersonalism is the very basis of all spirituality. Without being an impersonalist, it's impossible to even have devotional service. And then he said, devotional service is like a mirror. An impersonalist philosophy is like the eyes. What is the use of a mirror without eyes? Therefore, after studying my whole life, all the scriptures of the world, I have come to the conclusion that the ultimate perfection of life and the single exclusive truth of reality is impersonalism.
Hare Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya heard the news of Advaita Prabhu's katas.
He was very upset.
One day he was roaming through the streets of Navadvip with Nityananda Prabhu. On that day, the demigods were looking down at the beauty of Navadvip. They were thinking, Lord Brahma has personally created the most beautiful city in the world just to facilitate the pleasurable pastimes of our Lord. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are like two moons who are illuminating the entire creation. Lord Chaitanya turned to Nitai and said, let us go to visit Sri Advaitacharya in Shantipur. So they began to walk along the Ganges. On the way, they came to Lalitapur, where there was a little hut. Huh? Lord Chaitanya asked Nityananda Prabhu, who lives here? He said, a sannyasi. Oh, sannyasi, let us go for his darshan. So they went in for darshan. And the sannyasi was a very senior person. He was so happy to see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. His heart was actually filled with affection for them. So according to his realization, he wanted to give them a benediction. He said, I bless you, O young children, because I'm so pleased with you. May you have wealth, beautiful wives, fame, fortune, and great learning. Lord Chaitanya replied, sannyasis are not supposed to give that kind of benediction. You're supposed to benedict me that I will get the mercy of Krishna. The sannyasi was really offended. Huh? These children, they come to my house, I give them a very good benediction, and they criticize me. So what's wrong with this? He said, how will you live in this world if you don't have money? If you don't have a nice house, where will your shelter be? If you're not enjoying with beautiful, amorous women, what is the use of life? I've given you a good benediction and you criticize me. Lord Chaitanya said, if beautiful wife and all this wealth and everything is the real purpose of life, then why at the time of death is it all taken away? It is all temporary. The real benediction is the mercy of Krishna. The sannyasi replied, he was really angry then. He said, a child, a mere little child who's still sucking the breast of his mother's milk is telling me what is knowledge. I have been all to the holy places. I've been to Badrinath. I've been to Gaya. I have been to Purushottam Chaitra. I've been to Kanyakumari. I've been to Setubandha. I've been to Vrindavan. I've been to all the holy places throughout India. I've read all the scriptures. I've met all the saints. And this little child is telling me what is knowledge. Nityananda Prabhu saw the situation. He said, oh, Swamiji. He said, I know how great you are and learned you are. He's just a boy. Don't take him seriously, please. But I know you. So he was pacified. And he said, please take... He said, yes, yes, that is very good. Please take prasad. They said, no, 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 you will not take prasad. Yes, yes, you must take... No, 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 just take some fruit. He said, all right, we will have some fruit. So they sat down and he began to feed them fruit. And then his wife came in. And she was looking at them. They were so beautiful. And he was thinking in his heart, such beautiful personalities. When will I get such an opportunity to serve people like this? I have to give them the best thing I have. So he said to Gornitai, who were sitting there, can I get you some bliss? Ananda. Nityananda didn't say anything. Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything. They just went on taking their fruit. Again he said, can I give you some bliss? They just went on taking their fruit. He said, please, when will I have such a chance to serve two people like you? Please, let me give you some bliss. Lord Chaitanya looked to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda was 12 years older than Lord Chaitanya. He went to all holy places. He was very learned about the way sadhus are. So he asked Lord Nityananda Prabhu, what is bliss? Nityananda Prabhu said, he's a tantric sannyasi with a wife. He wants to give you wine. Wine! Lord Chaitanya immediately got up, ran out the door, and jumped in the Ganges to purify himself, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu went with him. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, such mercy Lord Chaitanya gave to this person, even though he was a very fallen, wretched person. But he had a desire to serve, so the Lord actually allowed him to render service. He attained the ultimate perfection of life in his next life, this person, because he served the Lord, even though he was performing illicit activities with women, even though he was supposed to be in the renounced order. He was a tantric. He was a materialist. But the Lord was merciful to him because he had some desire to serve. But then Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, the Mayavadi sannyasis at Varanasi, because they didn't have any, even though they were so staunch in their regulative principles and their celibacy and their learning, the Lord would never give them a chance to serve. He would not give them mercy because they didn't have that quality of service. So they were in the Ganges.
and they decided to just float in the Ganges all the way to Shantipur. As they were floating in the Ganges, Lord Chaitanya was, his mind and his heart were fixed in Advaita Prabhu's misbehavior. He was crying out in a loud voice, "Nara, Nara! You called me from the ocean of milk. You woke me up. You asked me to come to this world to teach devotional service, and now you are ruining everything. Today I will punish you." Then they arrived at Shantipur. Came out of the Ganges soaking wet. Lord Chaitanya was angry. And Advaitacharya was preaching. And he saw Lord Chaitanya coming. And he became so enthusiastic. He was just swaying back and forth, roaring like a lion, speaking the most intense Mayavad philosophy he ever spoke before. Because he really wanted the Lord to punish him. And Lord Chaitanya was listening to him as he was walking up. When Lord Chaitanya came in the assembly, Advaita was just going back and forth saying, "You are all God. Everything is one. Everything is God. Bhakti is an illusion." Lord Chaitanya was looking at him. His eyes were red like coals. His face was the manifestation of anger. His whole body became illuminating light like 10 million suns. Everyone was afraid. Haridas Thakur looked at the Lord. He was smiling and laughing as Advaita was preaching Mayavad because he knew Advaita's plot. But when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he just became fearful, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. The Lord roared, "Nara! I have a question for you." "What is your question?" "You see, there is devotional service and there is impersonalistic speculation. Of the two, which is better?" Advaita stood up very straight. He sat up very straight and he said, "That's an easy question." He said, "At all times, in all circumstances, in all places, impersonalism is always superior to devotional service. Devotional service cannot even survive without impersonalism." Lord Chaitanya jumped on the stage, grabbed Advaita by the hair, pulled him down off the raised platform, made a fist, and struck him. Then he struck him again and again and again. And Sita Thakurani, his wife, she started crying. She said, my Lord, he's an old Brahmin. He's an old Brahmin. You're going to kill him. Please, what do you hope to get from punishing this old man? What religious principle are you teaching us? Please spare his life." And Lord Chaitanya didn't hear a word she said. He just kept striking him. Achyutananda, the little son of Advaita Prabhu, was trembling in fear. Haridas Thakur was trembling in fear. Nityananda Prabhu was laughing. Then after beating him, Lord Chaitanya sat down and said, "Nara, why? Why have you done this? I was sleeping peacefully in the ocean of milk. And you woke me up with your loud cries to come and teach devotional service. I came down to teach devotional service."
And now you are cheating me. You are undoing everything I have done. You are speaking impersonalism. I came and I satisfied your desire. Why are you attacking me? Why you are cheating me? In Mathura, I killed that demon Kamsa. I appeared as Ram and I severed the heart of that ten-headed demon Ravana. I sent my Sudarshan Chakra to kill Sudakshina and burn down the city of Varanasi. I'm the one who cut off the arms of Banasura. I'm the one who killed Narakasura. I'm the one who held Govardhan Hill with the little finger of my left hand for 7 days. I'm the one who conquered Indra and took his Parijata tree. Advaitacharya was in bliss. He got up and began to dance in ecstasy, clapping his hands, crying in joy, saying, Today you have revealed yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you have punished me. That means you have accepted me as your servant. He said, my Lord, as he was saying this while he was dancing and clapping. He said, my Lord, where is all your flattering words? Where is all your affectionate, respectful obeisances to me? Where is your worship to me? Where is it all gone? Today you beat me. Today you accepted me as your servant. I am Advaita. I am the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not like that Bhrigu Muni. You're not going to put my feet on your chest and wear it everywhere. Hundreds and millions of Bhrigu Munis will be my disciples. I am not that Durvas Muni who you took the remnants of his food and smeared it on his body. I am Advaita. I am your eternal servant.
When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Advaita in such bliss, all his desires fulfilled, he became very embarrassed. Then Advaita Prabhu, not only was he dancing, he was dancing in the house, out of the house, throughout the courtyard. He couldn't control himself, just loudly chanting the holy name. Then Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, you are so dear to me, Advaitacharya, because you are my devotee. Anyone who offends you or offends my devotees, I cannot tolerate them. If someone worships me but neglects my devotee, his worship is cutting my body with daggers. If someone worships me and offends my devotees, then I feel his worship like burning fire on my body. The holy name is like a kalpa vriksha tree. But if one is offensive to the devotees, the holy name itself will destroy him. Even if a sannyasi, strictly following the principles of his ashram, if he blasphemes an innocent person, that sannyasi will fall down. Know that all living beings are essentially my servants. One who criticizes, one who offends others, they will fall down. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised both of his arms and declared very loudly. He said, "Do not criticize others and always chant the holy names. I will protect and I deliver with a solemn promise. Anyone who simply does these two things, they do not criticize others and they constantly chant my holy names." Shall I continue? One day at Srivas Thakur's house, there was such a nice kirtan of Harinam. On that day, Advaita Prabhu was in the mood of the gopis. He was feeling intense separation from Krishna. He was dancing in that ecstasy of a gopi's separation for 6 continuous hours. The devotees were totally exhausted. They said, "Advaita Prabhu, please, please, let us rest for some time." So he sat down, and they saw he was just trembling in the anguish of separation. Somehow they all pacified him. When he appeared perfectly pacified, then Srivas Thakur and Ramai and the other devotees, they went to take bath in the Ganga. Sri Advaitacharya was the only one at Srivasangam. Then again, he entered into a serious condition of separation from Krishna. And he started crying and rolling in the dust of the ground. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to be walking throughout Navadvip, and in his heart of hearts he understood Sri Advaita Prabhu's condition. So he came to Srivasangam. He said to Advaita that, "I am here. What can I do for you?" Sri Advaita Prabhu bowed down, offered his prostrated obeisances to the Lord. The Lord said, "I want to give you a boon. Please ask anything of me. What do you want?" The Lord hates to see his devotee in pain. Sri Advaita Prabhu said, "I only want your darshan, and now you are here." He said, "Yes, I'm here. But what else do you want? Ask something else of me, please." Advaita Prabhu said, "Please accept me as your eternal servant." He said, "I already have. Now ask something else of me." He said, I want to see that form of yours that Arjuna saw while on his chariot in Kurukshetra." At that moment, Advaitacharya saw himself standing on a chariot. Then he looked and he saw the Lord manifest his forearm form, holding the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the club. Then that forearm form transformed into Virat Rup. Sri Advaita Prabhu saw the sun, the moon, all the planets, all mountains, all oceans, all living beings within the body of the Lord, all the trees, all the forests, all 8,400,000 species of life within the form of the Lord. He saw millions of heads, millions of arms, millions of eyes, millions of legs, millions of mouths. And from the mouths was coming fire, the form of time. And he saw all the blasphemers entering and being burnt by the mouths of the Lord, devoured. Nityananda Prabhu was roaming around Navadvip. And in his mind he thought,
just now my Lord is showing his universal form. I'm going to see. So he knocked on the door, and Lord Chaitanya opened it and let him in. This was all in the temple room of Srivas. And as the Lord was manifesting this form, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, they were just offering obeisances again and again. They were weeping and crying and dancing and chanting in ecstasy. What they are seeing. Then with folded hands, they all began to pray for the mercy of the universal form. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while all this was going on, he was dancing in ecstasy. After they offered prayers, the Lord manifested his regular form and then left for his own home. And Sri Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they were so intoxicated. What they had just seen. They were embracing each other. They were, for hours, they were dancing and singing together. Can you imagine? Just two people. How many times are you just with one other, just dancing and singing together in ecstasy? This is the relationships they had. Then they sat down. And Sri Advaita Prabhu said to Nityananda Prabhu, in a very joking but apparently serious way, he said, "Who invited you? That darshan was for me. Who opened the door for you? Why did you come?" He said, "No one knows what your caste is. You travel all over the place. You eat at so many people's house. Nobody knows who your mother and father is. You don't dress properly." Nityananda Prabhu, he said, "I am an avaduta. You see this fist? I'm going to strike you in the face with this fist." He said, "Who are you? Your life has simply been plundered, disgraced, and wasted by your wife, by your children, by your house. But I walk the path of the Paramahamsas. Therefore, if I strike you with my fist, no one will say anything." And then they began to embrace each other and dance again. It was simply their humor. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he gives a lesson for all these incidences. He said that there was an argument between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. But when two Vaishnavas have an argument with each other, anyone who takes sides with either one of them will fall down. Because you should understand that this is some transcendental pastime. Hare Krishna. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking sides means, what he explains, taking sides means speaking critically against the other. Of course, in this world, sometimes we have to take sides. We have to protect, but it should not be in a malicious spirit. It should be in a service spirit. We should not criticize Vaishnavas. This is the principle that is being taught by this pastime. And also how the Lord is the source of all incarnations. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Srivas Thakur's house. And he entered in his mood of the supreme opulent personality of Godhead. One of those rare instances where he sat on the throne of Vishnu and put the shalagrams on his lap. And he asked the devotees, "Ask any boon, I will fulfill your desires." One devotee said, "My father is a materialistic person. please make him a devotee. Make him understand me. He's against my Krishna consciousness. Please make him understand and appreciate this Krishna consciousness movement. See, these conditions were going on even then. Another person said, please make my children Krishna conscious. Please make my wife Krishna conscious. Please make my husband Krishna conscious. I'm a teacher. Please make my students Krishna conscious. I'm a student. Please make my teacher Krishna conscious. The only benedictions they were asking for were the benefits of others. They didn't ask anything for themselves. Then Srivas spoke. With such love in his heart, he said, my Lord, please give pure ecstatic love to your mother, Sachi Devi. Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He said, no, she will not be given ecstatic love of God because she has offended a Vaishnava. These words practically killed the devotees. Their hearts were wounded. They loved and worshipped Sachi Devi. Srivas Thakur was crying. His heart was broken. He, with folded hands, he pleaded, my Lord, how can you speak like that? You took birth from her womb. She's the mother of the universe. She's the mother of all of us. She's the very personification of devotional service. If she's committed some offense, then please forgive her. The Lord, very grave, I have no power to forgive her. If one offends a Vaishnava, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot forgive. You know the story of Durvas Muni and his offense to Ambarish Maharaj? Only the Vaishnava that has been offended can give forgiveness. She has offended Sri Advaita Prabhu. Unless he forgives her, unless she takes the dust from his lotus feet, I cannot give her ecstatic love of Krishna. So the devotees, who were the most intimate, loving well-wishers of Sachi Mata, they ran to Sri Advaita Prabhu and told him, this is what happened. Somehow or other, she's offended you and he will not give her love of Krishna unless you give her the dust from your lotus feet. Please give it. Advaita Prabhu, he came there. And right in front of everybody, he was utterly bewildered. How can I give the dust of my feet to Sachi Mata? She's my worshipable mother. She's my worshipable goddess. She has given birth to the Supreme Master of all masters. She is incarnated as the goddess Ganga. She is Yasoda. She is Devaki. She is Kaushalya. She's the worshipable mother of all living beings. How can I give dust to her? She's my worshipable person. He was tasting such sweet nectar in glorifying Sachi Mata with love that he actually fell unconscious. At that moment, with the blessings of the devotees, Sachi Mata took the chance and ran and fell at the feet of the unconscious Advaita Prabhu, and she placed her head on his feet. And getting the dust of Advaitacharya's lotus feet upon her head, she became so ecstatic, being filled with the glories of Advaita, she fell unconscious. Such a glorious scene this is. He passed out in ecstasy thinking of her glories, and she passed out in ecstasy thinking of his glories. They were both defeated by one another. And all the devotees present were weeping in ecstatic love. Then the Lord called to Sachi Mata, Sachi Devi, Mataji,
and she came to consciousness. And he said, today, at this very moment, I give you ecstatic love of Krishna. Because you have received the mercy of Sri Advaita Acharya. When he said that, all the devotees' hearts erupted with bliss to see Sachimata getting this favor of the Lord. They all wept in love and loudly cried out the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Hare.
Lord Chaitanya, at the age of 24, made his decision to become a sannyasi. In order to preach and transform the hearts of the offenders, he accepted the renounced order. At the time of Makara Sankranti, he left his home, left his mother Sachi Devi like a weeping statue, paralyzed by separation, swam across the Ganges, he went to Katwa, and there he convinced Sriman Keshav Bharati Maharaj to give him entrance into the ashram of sannyas. The next morning, all the devotees would come to the house of Sachi Devi to greet Sachi Nandan. It was always the pleasurable way that they would begin their day, just go to meet the Lord. On this day they came and they saw Sachi Devi standing at the doorway like a statue. There was not a slight trace of movement in her body. There was only torrents of tears flowing from her eyes. They didn't have to ask her. They understood. There's only one thing that could create such a devastation in her heart. She saw them and said, my home, all my property, it is yours. Take it. You are the Lord's devotees. I have no reason to live. Upon hearing these words and seeing Sachimata's lamentation, the devotees fell down, rolling on the ground in morbid grief. It was impossible to comprehend that the Lord has left us. We will never see him again. Vishwarup took sannyas, and no one in Navadvip ever seen him or heard of him again. Advaita Prabhu was so utterly shaken up in separation, he vowed on that very day to take his life by drowning in the Ganga. There is no reason to live without the Lord. I will drown myself in the Ganga. And if any of you try to forcibly stop me, then in the middle of the night when no one's around, I will take my life in Mother Ganga. And all the devotees unanimously stood up and said, Advaita Prabhu, we will not try to stop you. We will all go with you. We will all take our lives in Ganga.
In this way, there was a procession of all the devotees going to the river Ganges for the purpose of drowning themselves. This was their love for the Lord. When they reached the Ganga and offered obeisances, just before entering, a celestial voice was heard in the sky. He spoke to Sri Advaitacharya. Said, Advaita, do not take your life. Lord Gauranga, within a few days, will come back. You will be in his presence once again, hearing about Krishna and chanting the holy names. Just be patient. Advaita Prabhu's heart was filled with joy. He turned to the devotees and he said, Krishna has come. The Lord will be with us in a few days. Be patient. Let us somehow or other wait out this time by constantly chanting the names of the Lord together. There was wonderful kirtan. Meanwhile, the Lord, after taking sannyas from Kesha Bharati, he heard the mantra in his ear. And then he began to dance in ecstasy, and Kesha Bharati was dancing in ecstasy. They both forgot. They were dancing so much, they both dropped their dandas and didn't even know it. They dropped their kamandalus and didn't know it. They didn't even know they were in this world. Then Lord Chaitanya said, I will go to Vrindavan. And Kesha Bharati said, I'm coming with you. And they all started just dancing and chanting like madmen through the forest on their way to Vrindavan. Then the Lord told Kesha Bharati, now you should go back to your ashram. I will go. So Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Jagadananda, Chandrasekhar, they were all on their way to Vrindavan. Lord Nityananda Prabhu told Chandrasekhar, the maternal uncle of the Lord, that you should go and tell all the devotees in Navadvip that I'm bringing Lord Chaitanya to Advaita Prabhu's house in Shantipur. Bring Sachi Mata. So what happened is, you know the story. Lord Chaitanya saw some cowherd boys. He made them ecstatic, dancing and chanting. Then he said, which way is Jamuna? And Nityananda Prabhu had already told them, if Swamiji asks which way is Jamuna, show him the way to the Ganga. And he said, that way. Ah! So he went that way. And after some time, there he saw the Ganga and he thought it was the Jamuna. He felt he had arrived in Vrindavan. He was in ecstasy. He took his bath. And as he was bathing in the Jamuna, Advaita Prabhu came on a boat with some dry copans. He said, please take these copans. So he didn't bring any other clothes. Lord Chaitanya said, how did you know I was in Vrindavan? How did you come to Vrindavan here in the Jamuna so fast? Advaita didn't know what was going on. He said, this is the Ganga, this is Santipur. Lord Chaitanya said to Lord Nityananda, you cheated me. You have tricked me. And Advaita Prabhu said, no, actually he didn't cheat you. Because at Prayag, the Jamuna and the Ganga meet in one river. And from that point on, it all becomes one river, the Ganga. And it is understood that the eastern side is Ganga and the western side is Jamuna. And because you're bathing on the western side, you're actually bathing in Jamuna. So Nityananda Prabhu is very good. He has given you proper directions. Now you haven't eaten in so many days. Come to my house. So the Lord went to Advaita Prabhu's house in Shantipur. And meanwhile, Sachi Mata was being brought by a palanquin from Navadvip, and all the devotees of Navadvip were on their way. Advaita Prabhu had this big, big feast. And he showed the Lord the feast that was prepared for the deities. It was hundreds of preparations in large quantities. The Lord said, I'm very happy to see your deity of Krishna, Madan Gopal, eating so nice prasad, bhoga. But just give me some steamed vegetables on a leaf plate. But Advaita Prabhu insisted that you must take everything that the Lord has taken. And every time the Lord would eat, he would give him more and more and more. There was so much prasad. Lord Chaitanya said, there is more than 100 men could eat. Meanwhile, as Nityananda Prabhu was eating, he was looking and he said, there's not enough food here to fill half my belly. So why have you invited? Why should you invite someone unless you have enough food to feed them? He said, I will never eat food at you Brahmins' houses anymore. You don't know how to properly treat a guest. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya kept saying to Advaita, enough, enough, I've had too much. And Nityananda Prabhu said, I've given up hope. There's no way this meager amount of food will ever fill my belly. So he took some rice and he threw it in anger. And that rice bounced off the floor and hit Advaita's body. And Advaita began to dance in ecstasy. He said, because I have been touched by the remnants of a madman, I have become a madman. Lord Chaitanya stayed in Shantipur on Advaita Prabhu's request for many days. Throughout the day, the devotees were chanting and dancing with the Lord. It was a glorious reunion. And Sachi Mata, on her request, cooked each day, every meal for Lord Chaitanya. Then with the devotees' blessings, the Lord went to Jagannath Puri. From Puri, he went to South India. South India, when he returned, Kal Krishnadas went to Shantipur to inform Advaita Prabhu and all the other devotees that the Lord has returned. So Sri Advaita Prabhu led the pilgrimage of all the Vaishnavas to visit Lord Chaitanya in Puri. Shivananda Sen made all the arrangements. When they arrived at Ataranala, King Prataparudra was on the roof with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinath Acharya, and he saw these devotees. He saw Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda and all the stalwart, intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya coming and giving garlands to Advaita Prabhu. He said, who is that? Gopinath Acharya said, that is Advaita Acharya. He is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. He is the leader of all the Vaishnavas. He is not different than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. His ecstatic love can fill the entire world with ecstasy. The king was astounded. He said, I have never seen such effulgent people. I have never heard such a melodious kirtan. I have never seen such graceful dancing. What kind of kirtan is this? Gopinath Acharya said, this is called Prem Sankirtan. It is the Sankirtan of pure love. It is this that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to inundate the world with. Every year, Advaita Prabhu with the devotees would come to celebrate Rath Yatra and remain with Lord Chaitanya for the entire 4 months of Chaturmasya. Every year, Lord Chaitanya would select Advaita Acharya Prabhu to be the lead dancer in one of the 7 Sankirtan parties. One time, Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan.
And after great efforts, finally he convinced the devotees to give his their blessings. So on his way to Vrindavan, millions of people were coming with him. And he, on his way in Ramkeli, Sanatana Goswami said, better you come with not so many people to Vrindavan. Just go alone or one or two others. You will not actually appreciate Braj Bhumi with such big crowds. So Lord Chaitanya went back to Puri. On his way back, he stopped in Shantipur. Actually, the first time Lord Chaitanya went to Shantipur, after taking sannyas, Raghunath Das Goswami came to meet him. And Advaitacharya was very, very close friends with Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle. Because Govardhan Madhu Majar and Hiranyamanju Madar, they were so wealthy, and they utilized a major portion of their wealth to fund the devotees. They were giving charity to Jagannath Mishra, who was a simple Brahmin. They were giving extensive charity to Advaitacharya, who was a simple Brahmin. In fact, they were practically funding the whole Vaishnav community by giving charity to them. So they were very, very dear devotees. And Advaitacharya was very intimate with them. So when their son, Raghunath, came, Advaitacharya Prabhu brought him right to Lord Chaitanya. And it was at that time that Raghunath Das decided that I'm going to my Lord has become a sannyasi, I will also renounce everything and join him. When he came home from Shantipur after meeting Lord Chaitanya, he was not at all interested in anything of this world. He was making so many efforts to escape from home. But then the Lord, on his way back from his trip to Vrindavan, he stopped in Shantipur again, and Raghunath Das came to see him with 12 guards to make sure he came home by the mercy of Sri Advaita Prabhu. He was given the intimate association of Lord Chaitanya. It was at that time in the house of Sri Advaitacharya that Lord Chaitanya gave him instructions. Do not be Markata Vairagya. Do not practice the renunciation of monkeys. Monkeys wear no clothes. They only eat the roots and the fruits and the trees. But they have so many female monkeys to enjoy with. He said, you go home and you pretend to be just like an ordinary materialistic person. But always meditate on Krishna and do not be attached to anything. And someday Krishna will deliver you. There was a big festival in Shantipur at that time. Actually, it's very interesting. One day a Brahmin came to Advaita's house. Very effulgent, pure-hearted devotee. And Advaita Prabhu bowed down, welcomed him, offered him a sitting place, said, please take prasad. The Brahmin said, please answer my question. Sri Advaita Prabhu, being a cultured host of the first class order of love, he said, no, first you take a nice sitting place and you take nice prasad and bath, then we'll talk questions. He said, I will not accept anything until you answer my question. So what is your question? He said, what is Keshav Bharati Maharaja's relationship with Lord Chaitanya? Sri Advaita began to think. Actually, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord of all lords, and Keshav Bharati is his devotee. So one is master and one is servant. But in this world, Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas from Keshav Bharati, therefore Keshav Bharati is his guru. One is internal and one is external.
So it's better to first discuss the external details before going into the internal esoteric details. So with that thought in mind, he said, Kesha Bharati is Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Sannyas Guru. At that moment, Achyutananda, who was only 5 years old, he came running into the room. Small child. The only thing he was wearing on his body was the four directions. He was angry. He said, Father, Father, what have you just said? How could you say such a thing as this? You say that Lord Chaitanya has a guru? You say that Keshav Bharati is his guru? He's the supreme absolute truth. He's the cause of all causes. He's the knower of everything. He was laying in the causal ocean, and from his navel came a lotus flower. On that lotus flower, Brahma was born. Brahma was completely bewildered. He didn't know who he was, where he was, or what he was supposed to do. He performed austerities, and the Lord appeared to him and instructed him in Vedic knowledge, making him the original guru of this universe. Then he taught Narada, and he taught Vyas, and the whole disciplic succession comes down. My Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is the source of everything. He's the ultimate object of everyone's devotion. He's the supreme knower. He's the guru of all gurus. How could you say that He has a guru? You're supposed to be my father. You're supposed to be giving me proper information and direction in life. You are simply cheating me. Please reconsider what you said. Advaitacharya was in bliss to see how much faith and knowledge his son had at such a little age in Lord Chaitanya. He picked up his son and started embracing him and embracing him. Advaitacharya started taking the dust of his son's feet and smearing it on every part of his body as he was embracing him and dancing in ecstasy. He started crying out, My dear son, you are my guru. You are teaching me the ultimate secrets of devotional service. And the sannyasi, watching this scene, he was thinking in his mind, like father, like son. He bowed down and left. At that very moment, Lord Chaitanya arrived. Advaita Prabhu offered his obeisances, sat him down and worshipped the Lord. And then little Achyutananda came running in the room and offered his dandavat to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him. They could not give up each other's association. Achyutananda would not let go of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would not let go of Achyutananda, 5-year-old boy. It is said in our holy scriptures that Lord Chaitanya loved no one like he loved Achyutananda, the dear son of Sri Advaita. The day of the disappearance of Madhavendra Puri, the guru of Sri Advaita Prabhu, happened to come while Lord Chaitanya was at his house. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, how are we going to worship my Param Guru? So Advaitacharya made such elaborate arrangements for this festival. So many devotees came. And he had so much bhoga. So much bhoga. There were rooms full of bananas and rooms full of coconut and rooms full of sabjis and rooms full of rice. Sachimata was volunteered to be in charge of all the cooking. So she had so many servants and assistants assisting her in cooking each preparation. Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Prabhu went walking through the premises, and Lord Chaitanya was in such bliss to see such arrangements. So many devotees making flower garlands, tens and thousands of flowers being picked to make decorations everywhere. So much bhoga being prepared. Wonderful, wonderful decorations of banana trees being brought and clay pots and paintings. And everyone was fully immersed in active devotional service. And the only sound you could hear as they were all united in the service of the Lord was the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
This is Krishna consciousness. This is the culture Srila Prabhupada so lovingly introduced to the world. This is what our temples are for. For the full-time residents of the temple, for the congregation, for the public to come together to have these wonderful festivals where everyone's active, perfectly united in harmony with the exclusive purpose of praising the Lord and praising the devotees. If Krishna is the center of our interactions, if serving Guru and the Vaishnavas is the center of our relationships, then the harmony of the environment is non-different than that of Vaikuntha. Lord Chaitanya was so very, very pleased. Then the bhoga was offered very lovingly by Sri Advaita Prabhu to his Guru Maharaj, Madhavendra Puri, and there was an ecstatic kirtan. All devotees were dancing together with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in the middle. How they were dancing! Advaita Prabhu would sometimes, when he would get ecstatic, he was the wildest of everyone. He would go, even though he was, by this time, he was practically 100 years old. He was just dancing and leaping and spinning and screaming and going, Haribo! Haribo! Devotees were fascinated to see him. They danced and chanted all day long. Then Lord Chaitanya decided it's time for prasad. And they all took the remnants of Sri Madhavendra Puri. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as if he had thousands of mouths, he was praising Sri Advaita Prabhu's love and devotion for his spiritual master as the example that all devotees should follow. One time in Jagannath Puri, Advaita Prabhu invited Lord Chaitanya to his house for prasad. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this rule that whenever he would come to someone's house for prasad, he would come with about 12 sannyasis. And they would all take prasad together. So Advaita Prabhu was cooking with his wife, Sita Thakurani. As they were cooking, Sri Advaitacharya began to think that if the Lord comes to my house with 12 sannyasis, I won't be able to exclusively serve him. And not only that, they'll eat all his remnants. I won't get any. But then he continued cooking, and Sita Thakurani was cooking. It came about noontime, and all the sannyasis in their various places, the Lord said, meet me at Advaita Prabhu's house. Just at that moment, torrential rain started pouring so hard that nobody could even see in front of them. It was impossible to walk anywhere. Everyone was trapped in their houses. The sannyasis couldn't go. But miraculously, between Gambira and the place of Sri Advaitacharya, there was a small path where absolutely not a drop of rain was falling.
So Lord Chaitanya walked very easily, but no one else could get there. He was the only one. So Advaitacharya was very, very happy. And he was personally serving Lord Chaitanya Prasad. As soon as he'd eat half of the preparation, Lord Advaita Prabhu would give him, fill up his bowl again and fill up his bowl again. And Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing? How much can I eat?" He said, no, you can eat." And then after taking prasad, he gave the Lord chewing spices and garlands. And he offered prayers to the Lord. He offered the same prayers that Indra offered Krishna. When he came down to atone for his offense of throwing the reins on Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya said, "Why? Why are you saying Indra's prayers? I know why you are saying Indra's prayers. Because it was your desire that was the order to Indra to cause all this rain. How is it rained so much and nobody could come who was invited except me? I know the reason. Because you wanted to eat all my remnants with your family. That's why. You didn't want the sannyasis here. You ordered Indra to make torrential rains. It's not even the rainy season. It never rains at this time. But this is no surprise. You are Advaita. You are the Lord. By your order, Yamaraj punishes the wicked. By your order, Indra and all the demigods perform their functions. So it is no surprise to me that you have this power." And Advaitacharya Prabhu was in ecstasy. He said, "My Lord, I just wanted to serve you personally. And I wanted to taste the remnants of your divine food." I will tell one more story. There are so many, but it is 11:20. And Srimad Bhagavatam is somewhat over time today. It happens to be a weekday and some of you may have to go to work. Lord Advaita, his love for the Lord was to reveal Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glory to the whole world. Because this is the nature of a devotee. He doesn't simply want to have love of God himself or herself. He wants the whole world to have it. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan at the temple of Jiva Goswami, just a few feet from the Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami at Radha Damodar, tasting the highest ecstasies of pure love of Krishna, of Braj Ras. But he was not satisfied, because the fools and rascals in this Kali Yuga were suffering in forgetfulness of Krishna. So he left Vrindavan and traveled around the world 13 times to teach the whole world the glories of Krishna and give them the chance to know Krishna and to love Krishna. That is the nature of a great soul's heart. One day in Jagannath Puri, Sri Advaitacharya performed a pastime that was unprecedented. He gathered the devotees together and he said, "Today we will chant in Harinam Sankirtan no other name of God except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu."
He has brought us all to this world to help Him spread the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. He is the most munificent, the most merciful of all incarnations. He's the source of all incarnations. He is our worshipable Lord. He is our Master. He is our all in all. Today we will enlighten the whole world by the tumultuous Sankirtan of only the names of Lord Gauranga. Devotees heard this. They were fearful. They knew Lord Chaitanya's mood, especially after he took sannyas. If anyone ever tried to even indicate that he was Krishna, he would hold his ears and with great anger cry out, "Vishnu, Vishnu, save me from this offense!" He would not tolerate it. But Advaita Prabhu saw their fear. And he was smiling blissfully. He said, "Give up your fear. I will lead the kirtan. I will lead the dancing. Let us dance and chant it like we have never done before, chanting the holy names of Gauranga." Then he started chanting. He was chanting these beautiful verses he was composing that Lord Chaitanya is none other than Lord Narayan himself, who has descended into this world out of his causeless mercy. Lord Chaitanya is the source of all incarnations. That beautiful form of Srinandanandana Krishna, who has peacock feather on his hair and gunja mala around his neck. That Lord of Vrindavan has descended to chant his own holy names in the role of his own devotee, Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. And he was dancing ecstatically. Seeing him, the devotees became so influenced. They were all dancing. Soon, there was tumultuous sound of Gauranga's holy names. Lord Chaitanya was at Gambira. He heard this loud kirtan. He was very attracted to join the kirtan. He came. He stood. He saw the devotees dancing and chanting. Then he started listening. They were chanting his names. And when the devotees saw him, Advaita saw him. Advaita fearlessly started dancing wilder than ever and chanting Lord Gauranga's names louder than ever before. And everyone else followed him. Lord Chaitanya was so embarrassed that he left that place and went back to Gambira and went to sleep. Lord Chaitanya was so embarrassed that he left that place and went back to Gambira and went to sleep. Hare Krishna. The devotees were so excited. They saw the Lord left with embarrassment, but they were in such a fearless state that they took the whole kirtan to the Gambira. They surrounded Lord Chaitanya's house right outside the door, loudly chanting the holy names. I'm sorry, but this kirtan, that's not what they chanted. Every other kirtan they chanted that. This time they were chanting. Something like that. Govinda, he said to Lord, "You know, there's thousands of devotees out there having kirtan." Lord Chaitanya said, "They can come in if they want." And then he went back to sleep. So Srivas Thakur and Advaitacharya Prabhu and all of the senior devotees came into Lord Chaitanya's room. And they were all looking at the Lord. And he was sleeping. And meanwhile, there were thousands and thousands of people outside loudly chanting the Lord's glories in kirtan. Then the Lord looked at Srivas Thakur and he said, "Why have you come here? Why don't you speak something? You've come." They were all looking at him. The Lord said, you are a great pundit. Why are you misleading all these people? Why are you diverting them from Krishna's holy names? Please explain. Why are you hiding the real truth from these people? Srivas Thakur answered by putting his hand in the sky and moving it. Lord Chaitanya said, what does that mean? Srivas Thakur again lifted his hand and held it in the sky. The Lord said, please tell me what this holding hand in the sky means. Srivas said, I am hiding the sun. With my hand I am covering the sun. He said, I cannot cover the sun. What can a hand do to cover the sun? Similarly, what can I do to hide your glories? What could you do to hide your glories? You could not hide in the ocean of milk. You cannot hide within everyone's hearts. You have descended to this world as the most merciful incarnation. Nothing can hide your glories. And even if my hand can cover the entire sun, I could never hide your supreme unlimited glories from the world. Now, my Lord, there are thousands and thousands of people out there chanting your holy names. The whole universe is being filled with your holy names. Are you going to punish all of them? What is there to be done? Your glories cannot be hidden. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Srivas and said, you have defeated me by your love, Srivas. In this way, Sri Advaita Prabhu revealed not only his heart, but his ultimate mission in life, to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Advaitacharya had 6 sons. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that 3 of his sons were great pure-hearted Vaishnavas, and three of them deviated from the true path of bhakti because they did not accept the true position of Lord Chaitanya. He said that Advaitacharya, just like when you polish wheat, you separate the wheat from the chaff. 3 of the sons were like wheat, and 3 of them Advaita Prabhu himself discarded as chaff. The 3 sons who were his devotees were led by Achyutananda, Sri Krishna Mishra, and Gopal Mishra. And the 3 sons who became antagonistic to the true mission of their father were Balaram, Jagadish, and Swarup. Why did Advaita Prabhu reject them? Not that he rejected them as a father. He was a loving father to all. But he rejected their siddhanta. He rejected their religious purpose because they did not give full glory to Lord Chaitanya. They gave more glory to him. They would not accept that their father, who was the glorious Mahavishnu, was the eternal servant of Lord Chaitanya. They wanted to put him in a prominent role. Sri Advaita Prabhu, like Sri Nityananda Prabhu and all the eternal associates who descended with the Lord in Navadvip and other areas, their singular purpose was to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because anyone who understands the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
and accepts that mercy in their heart, they will be delivered, even in this age of Kali, to the highest platform of spiritual realization. It was Sri Advaita Prabhu himself that called the Supreme Lord Govinda of Goloka to descend as Lord Chaitanya, the golden avatar. Sri Advaita Prabhu was the foremost servant of Sri Chaitanya. And as an act of service, when he saw that Lord Chaitanya has completed his purpose as an incarnation in this world, it was Sri Advaita Prabhu that sent the Lord back to his eternal abode. That story is contained within Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvip to give Jagannath's Mahaprasad to Sachi Devi to pacify her heart. When he returned, he had a message to Lord Chaitanya from Sri Advaita. When he went to Advaitacharya and also asked his permission to return to Puri, Advaita Prabhu gave him a message to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaitacharya had written a sonnet in equivocal language with an import that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand, but others could not. Prabhure kohiha amar koti namaskar e nivedana tandra charane amar. In his sonnet, Advaita Prabhu first offered his obeisances hundreds and thousands of times unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he submitted the following statement at his lotus feet.
Baulake kohiba loka hoile baula. Baulake kohiha hatina vikai chaula.
Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand.
Baulaka, baulake kohiba, kaye nahika aula. Baulake kohiba, iha kahiache baula.
Further tell him that those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Also tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one who has also become a madman in ecstatic love, Advaita Prabhu, has spoken these words. When he heard Advaitacharya's statement, Jagadananda Pandit began to laugh. And when he returned to Jagannath Puri, Nilachala, he informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of everything. After hearing the equivocal sonnet by Advaita Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quietly smiled.
That is his order, he said. Then he fell silent.
Although he knew the secret, Swarup Damodar Goswami inquired from the Lord, "What is the meaning of this sonnet? I could not understand it." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Advaitacharya is a great worshipper of the Lord and is very expert in the regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic literatures. Advaitacharya invites the Lord to come and be worshipped, and then to perform the worship, he keeps the deity for some time. After the worship is completed, he sends the deity somewhere else, I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. Advaitacharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him. He is expert at writing sonnets that even I myself cannot understand. Hearing this, all the devotees were astonished, especially Swarup Damodar, who became somewhat morose. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly. His feelings of separation from Krishna doubled in intensity. As his feelings of separation in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani increased at every moment, the Lord's activities, both day and night, were now wild, insane performances. Suddenly there awoken within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the scene of Lord Krishna's departure to Mathura, and he began exhibiting the symptoms of ecstatic madness known as Udgurna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman, holding Ramananda Rai by the neck, and he questioned Swarup Damodar, thinking him to be his gopi friend. Just as Srimati Radharani inquired from her personal friend Vishakha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reciting that verse, began speaking like a madman. My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like the moon rising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Where is Krishna, his head decorated with a peacock feather? Where is he? Where is Krishna, whose flute produces such a deep sound? Oh, where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is so expert in rasa dancing? Oh, where is he who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life, the best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I hereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny. In this lila, Sri Advaitacharya, out of his loving desire to serve the Lord, is giving the Lord the message, giving the Lord his blessings. You have performed your service in this world. You have given all living entities the chance to become madmen in ecstatic love through your Nam Sankirtan movement. Soon after this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded his earthly pastimes. It is said that Advaitacharya Prabhu lived about 125 years in this world before returning to his eternal abode. Srila Prabhupada in one drama when he was a small boy, Prabhupada said it was the only drama he ever participated in his whole life. He personally took the role of Sri Advaita Prabhu. And that play was so sincere and performed with such devotion. Srila Prabhupada said everyone there in the audience was weeping tears. On this most auspicious day, the one day of the year when we exclusively offer our hearts in grateful devotion
to this great Acharya, to this great incarnation of Godhead, to this most illustrious, merciful, compassionate soul to all living beings, and to the dear servant of Lord Chaitanya, we offer our prayers. The prayer that we can dedicate our lives with great humility and sincerity to his mission, to Sri Advaita Prabhu's mission of compassion. How wonderful it is, at a certain stage when Lord Chaitanya was 48 years in age, Advaita Prabhu said, "You have done your work." But his work was to spread the holy name all over the world. He inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. He liberated all living beings in the universe at that time. But Kali Yuga continues. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in the line of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Bhakti Vinod Thakur and the six Goswamis, he has sacrificed everything for this mission. Devotees asked Bhakti Vinod, asked Srila Prabhupada, if Bhakti Vinod Thakur was such a glorious acharya, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to spread the holy name all over the world, why didn't they do it themselves? They had the power to do so. Why they didn't do it? Srila Prabhupada, with great humility, as a matter of fact, he said, they saved this work for me. They wanted to give me a little service. Yes, they saved that work for Srila Prabhupada. And how fortunate we are that we can be a part of that work. Thank you very much. Sri Advaita Charya Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna.